Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. In this Last Supper with the disciples, Jesus is encouraging them. And I've entitled my lesson, Staying Connected. This is an I am statement from Jesus. I am the true vine. The last in this series in the Gospel of John, where he defines himself by I am the bread. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. On the marquee, I have these words written. Internet connections are important, but the best link is prayer. Are you connected? There was a time when being connected might imply connections politically or socially or business connections. And yet now, more often than not, if you ask someone, can you get connected? Are you connected? It implies servers and hotspots and unlimited data connections. You might think that being connected means you have the right family or ancestry or heritage. But the most important connection is my connection with my Savior, my Lord, my God. I'll read the marquee again. Internet connections are important, but the best link is prayer. Why is Jesus being so careful to speak to his disciples about remaining in him, abiding in him? Well, you've heard the old saying, out of sight, out of mind. Jesus does not want that to be true, as it has been with Judas. Judas anticipated Jesus leaving and decided to cut ties and make a little money off of it. He doesn't want that to be true for his disciples. And so even as he ascends into heaven, according to Matthew's gospel in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, he concludes the gospel with these words, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Though gone, I am still present. He says, the world will not see me, but you will. In other words, the world will not recognize my presence, which means my power, my authority, or my ability to perform what I have said that I will do, but you will, because simply being out of sight doesn't mean that I am not with you any longer. I am the true vine, and I don't know if you've ever raised a vineyard. I haven't, but I've seen them. In Oregon, we drove down the Willamette Valley and saw many vineyards. The closest I come to a vine is watermelons. And we used to raise a pretty big garden when I was growing up. That was one of Dad's things, almost a truck garden. And we raised lots of watermelons, being in southwest Oklahoma. And we knew what it meant for the vine to grow and to spread out, and then for the melons to begin to show up. And we knew they had to remain attached or else they would not mature. Jesus says to his disciples, now he's not calling them melon heads. He says to his disciples, you must remain attached to me. Abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. What does that mean? He has already said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life is only found in me. And as he tells them to abide in him, he also says, and you must know my words as well. But if you abide in me and perform my words, then I abide in you, and you will be fruitful. What is it that they are supposed to do? Well, he's going to give them what we call the Great Commission. He is setting for them an objective to teach others his way and to bring them to the Lord as well. In order to be connected, we must be attached to the source. As you read this passage or listened to it this morning, did you hear it with the ears of an apostle? I think that's the most natural way to listen to it. It's red-lettered, and we think of Jesus speaking directly to an audience, and he was, and it was directed at them. But what about hearing it with the ears of a Christian today? Certainly it's pertinent, isn't it? If you listen to it with the ears of an apostle, it's full of hope and promise. If you listen to it as a disciple, one who already believes in Christ, it's full of comfort and encouragement. But there are words here. What if you were to attempt to read this as an unbeliever, as someone who has yet to profess Christ as your Savior and to be baptized into his blood for the forgiveness of your sin? Then you're reading it as someone on the outside looking in. Try to put yourself for a moment. Think back in your life to where to a time when you were not a believer or were not a follower of Christ, and perhaps even now you may be in that condition. And listen to these words from verses 5 and 6. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You listen to this passage, and especially those verses, with the ears of an unbeliever, or one who is wayward, having become unfaithful, and it's words of warning, isn't it? Gone are the words of hope and promise, or at least the message of that, until you understand that you must be in Christ in order to live. Else you die, and worse than that, you shrivel and are cast into the fire. And that fire is not simply symbolic, is it? Those are the fires of hell. So whatever condition you listen to these verses, the question comes out, are you connected? The apostles, as a disciple, as an unbeliever? Turn with me to hymn number 384. Isn't it wonderful to be a friend of Jesus? 384. Do me, I have
I've found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Have you found a friend in Jesus? Are you connected? But in producing fruit, we know quite often there is a process of keeping the plant healthy. He says of his Father that he is the vine dresser. I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. That word in the Greek for vine dresser is georgos, which can be simply translated husbandman, or in more simple terms, farmer. In our context, we might even think of it as he is the gardener. Do you trim things? Are you a tree trimmer, a dead bloom pincher, a pruner, a cutback artist? What's all of that about? Well, we know in order to keep a plant healthy, it's got to be directed. Cut to the quick. What Jesus is implying is that there will be, even if you are connected to me, or because you're connected to me, there will be times when it is not going to be easy. We read that passage from James chapter 5 and verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and the latter rains. That is the same Greek word, georgos. The farmer waits. Jesus' brother, James, the author of this, says in chapter 1, now, verses 2 and 3, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. There's the pruning that takes place. Whenever troublesome times come our way, we have a choice to make, to give up or to endure. James says that's actually a blessing, and we ought to be able to see past the current trials and see the reward. Count it all joy when you fall into many and various temptations. Jesus will tell his disciples, or has already told them, this is from Mark chapter 13 and verse 9, be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. Now that's some tough pruning, isn't it? Delivered to courts and even flogged in the synagogue, having to stand before authorities to defend your faith? Are we there in our society today? Could it be that it will come? He's even stronger as he describes it in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 9. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Wow. They will deliver you to death. You will be hated by all nations. What's happening? It's an opportunity for us to be a witness, to testify of our faith. Some of the greatest testimonies in the first century came from not the mouths, but the death of martyrs as they were thrown into the Colosseums to be burned alive, to be slain by the sword of the gladiators, to be eaten by lions. They remained true and faithful. Quite often, if there was a group of them, they would go to their death in common prayer or in singing praises. And often the crowd would be silenced by the worship of the saints just prior to dying as they became martyrs. God knows best, doesn't he? Jesus has already said that I am telling you these things ahead of time so that when they happen, you will understand and you will be strong. A chapter earlier in John 14, verse 29. Now I have told you before it happens so that when it happens, you may believe. Jesus is not trying to discourage or dissuade, but to prepare. You must stay connected to me regardless of what transpires. There might be the temptation, and there was for the early Christians, to renounce their faith in order to live. And there's any number of ways to justify that. After all, we are connected to this world by the flesh. We're mortal. We feel pain. We get hungry. And we long for acceptance. And there's any number of ways that Satan might try and persuade us. Oh, it's just a few words. Say that you're no longer a believer, or say that you believe that Caesar is God, and you'll keep on living, and you can be a witness for God for the rest of your life rather than it all being stopped right now. That's not what Jesus is telling them to do, is it? He says, I'm telling you it's going to be tough before it happens so that when it happens, you may remain faithful so that you might believe. Do not lose faith. Continue to trust. We don't know what God has in store for us. And He has given us no guarantee to the length of our life. We may have our own plans, and we do, to live a long and fruitful life. But God may say, I will be glorified at this moment in time by your faithfulness, even unto death. That's what the martyrs believed in the first century. There was great turmoil within the church when someone renounced Christ in order to continue to live as to whether or not that person could come back into the fellowship. We don't see that in the scriptures, but we do see it in church history that congregations agonized over those who betrayed the name of Jesus in order to live. Now let's be realistic. What does it take for someone to fall away from the church today? Oh, we're still connected to the world. We are very mortal. We do not like to be uncomfortable. And sometimes the slightest hint from a friend or a loved one is enough for us to walk away from the church. May it never be true of you and I. May we always understand that the best connection is to God. The greatest link is above. And staying connected means being willing to endure. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience. But be ye fruitful. Be faithful. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Separation is not your salvation. You will shrivel. Be severed and cast into the fire. I am the vine. You are the branches. What's my purpose in life? To glorify God. To honor my Savior. We used to sing a song as teenagers. And I'm just going to sing one verse of it. It's entitled, Jesus is a Friend Next to You.
Jesus is a friend next to you. Jesus is a friend, come sing along. Jesus is a friend next to you. Jesus is a friend, come sing. Sing a la 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 la.
Think about that, those lyrics from the standpoint of what Jesus is saying to his disciples. It's not out of sight, out of mind, but I am here. Jesus is a friend next to you. I hope you have a habit of praying to the Father on a daily basis. And if it benefits you to imagine Jesus sitting there in the room with you, maybe as you drive in the seat next to you, there in the passenger seat, Jesus is a friend next to you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he has given us his word. What we're praying for is strength, is wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, also from James, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. But if you're lacking in understanding, pray. Ask God to help you to understand better what his word has already revealed. And make application of those things that you know already in your life, so that you might continue to persevere, to be strong. Maybe just that the Father is pruning, is pinching away that which is dead, is trimming us so that we might bear even more fruit. We might be witnesses, yea, even becoming witnesses to death, becoming martyrs. God is glorified when we abide in him, regardless of the trials, the tests, our temptations, and by us bearing much fruit. Yes, we feel deeply, and emotions can get the best of us, but Jesus calls us to live above our earthly pleasures and pains, to live above the mundane, to see this life as an opportunity to lay hold of that which is life indeed, to live here with a purpose to glorify God and to serve him. I've got a question for you. Why doesn't the Word of God have a greater hold on us than it does? Why aren't we called to its laws, to its teachings, whenever we have questions, whenever society asks of us certain things? Why aren't we more into the Word to say, wait a minute, I know the answer to that. God says, thou shalt not do those particular things. It's not compassionate to condone sin, to live outside the will of God. But it is so easy sometimes for God's Word to be set aside, to be discounted. Believers must walk in his footsteps. James, the Lord's brother, as we've mentioned, was not a believer for the time that he walked with Jesus. The word tells us that the brothers of Jesus did not accept him as the Son of God. There was sibling rivalry there, as John describes it in John chapter 5. And yet, as we believe that James is the author of this book, we'll go to him again, and this is from verse 17 of James chapter 2. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. James thought the camaraderie of his other siblings, his full-blood siblings, if you will, having both Joseph and Mary as their parents, whereas Jesus only had Mary as his mother, the Holy Spirit as his father. James evidently thought that his other siblings were better to have relationship with than to be close to Jesus. That's not the case any longer. You read this book through the eyes of someone who has come to know who Jesus is, and there's a note of sorrow in the things that James says, because he's seeing himself. It's as a man beholding himself in a glass. Listen to those words again, James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. You can't profess. You can't simply confess. You have to live out that for which you state you believe. You must live for Him. Abide in me, and I in you. John chapter 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Are you connected? Oh, I'm not talking about your politics, your social circles, your business connections. Are you connected? No, I'm not talking about the internet and whether you have unlimited data or the proper servers. Are you connected? I'm not talking about your earthly family, your ancestry, or your heritage. Are you connected to the Savior? Is Jesus your friend? Have you found a friend in Jesus? Is He everything to you? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Remain connected and have life and bear fruit and glorify the Father.